You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Hear God's Word today from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is the gospel in its most pure and simple form. The gospel in its most condensed form, that you and I, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that Jesus died for your sins, as the prophets and the Old Testament foretold, and that he was buried in a tomb, and on the third day he rose again to defeat your sins and death and the devil. This is the good news of Jesus. Well, last night as I was preparing for this morning, at about 9 p.m., something happened to me that has not happened to me in a very, very long time. I was stuck. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to say to you today. And I don't know if you know this, but for pastors, Easter's kind of important. Right? It's kind of a big deal, and it's kind of important that I know what I'm going to say before I get up and I preach God's word to you. And I was starting to panic. I was starting to freak out a little bit because I knew you all were coming. I knew Sunday was coming, but I didn't know what this was going to look like. And so after staring at my computer and that blank screen for about an hour, I finally just walked away. And I came in here and I sat down, but I could only sit for a little bit because I got to move. And so then I got up and I walked around and I just prayed. I prayed that God would show me what you needed to hear today, that he would speak to me so that he could speak through me to you. And then I went back to my office and I read over the three texts that we read in our traditional service, the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, as well as the 1 Corinthians passage and the Mark 16 passage. And I read them over and over and over again until finally there was one phrase that stuck out to me in a way that it had not before. And so let me read to you that phrase starting in Mark 16. So when the Sabbath passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone for us? Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Who will roll away the stone? What's interesting to me is Mary and Salome, they have everything that they need to go and finish preparing Jesus' body for his final resting place, and they're carrying it all that with them to the tomb, and as they're going, they're asking themselves, well, who's going to roll the stone away from us? Because we can't, is what they're saying. That stone was way too large, way too heavy for these three women to move, and so they ask themselves, who's going to do this for us? They know that there's this barrier between them and Jesus. They know that there's something in the way of them getting to Jesus, and yet they go to him anyway, wondering who will roll that stone away. And as I was reading that, and as I was considering how God was speaking to me, the question that popped into my head is, what stone is between me and Jesus? Or what stone is between you and Jesus? Maybe you're here today and this all seems like folly. This all seems silly. Like, there is no way in your mind that Jesus really, truly could have died and rose again on the third day. Or maybe you're here today, and a different type of stone or barrier has been rolled in the way between you and Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've been hurt. Hurt by the church, hurt by a pastor, hurt by myself, hurt by another Christian. And the stone separates you from Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you think the church is just some big business trying to get you, to swindle you out of your hard-earned money. Or maybe you're here today and you don't see what the big deal about this Jesus guy is. Right? There were lots of good people who lived throughout the world. And so Jesus is no different. We can believe whatever we want and get to eternal life if there even is an eternal life. Or maybe you're here today and you've been someone who's been trying really, really, really hard to just be good enough. Trying really, really hard, but then when you look at people around you, when you look at other Christians, you see how much better they are than you, and you realize that that's too much of a uphill climb for you to go. Or maybe you're here today, and there's something in your past that you think has disqualified you from the love of Jesus. Something in your past that is maybe too big of a sin for Jesus to ever forget. Or maybe you're here today and you have no idea what to think. There's so many different options out there that you don't know. You don't have any idea what the truth is. Or maybe there's some other stone, some other barrier between you and Jesus. Maybe it's a big one, maybe it's not a very big one, but it's stuck in the way, and so you keep asking yourself, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? Who will roll away the doubt for me? Who will roll away the hurt for me? Who will roll away the mistrust for me? Or who will roll away the apathy for me? Who will roll away the guilt or the shame for me? Who will roll away the confusion for me? Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? This is the question that the women were asking as they were walking to the tomb. And then, immediately after they asked that question and looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. As the women get to the tomb wondering who would roll away the stone for them, they see that Jesus has already done the work. The tomb is empty. And then the women have the opportunity even to go inside the tomb and look around. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Come and see the place where they laid them." Where they had laid him. And that's the same invitation that Jesus gives to you today. Come and see the empty tomb. But there's a problem with that. There's a difference between you and Mary and Mary and Salome. Because Salome and Mary, they were able to walk into the actual tomb where they knew Jesus had laid. They were able to see that he was not there. But as fantastic as this is up here, this is not the tomb. And so you have to take somebody else's word for it. And the real question is, can you trust someone else at their word? Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Again, Paul tells us the good news of the gospel, but is it just Paul's word about this? Well, he continues saying that Jesus then appeared to Cephas. Okay, that's one other person. And then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus appeared also to me. You don't just take the word of one person, right? There are over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And that's not just from the Bible. There are sources outside the Bible. Josephus is one of them who writes about this man named Jesus who lived and who was crucified on a cross and who others saw walking around after he had died. But to me, the most convincing argument to the resurrection of Jesus is what happened after, specifically those who had seen him. The disciples, the apostles, those who had seen that he is risen. I came across a story this week about a man named Charles Colson, and he was a special counsel for Richard Nixon, and he was an individual who was an atheist for most of his life, but became a Christian later in his life, and he was asked why he made that switch. What happened in him that allowed him to become out of atheism into Christianity? And here's what he said. He said, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me." How? Because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. And he says, Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me that 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. And what we know is it wasn't just 12 apostles who kept that for 40 years, who held to that story for 40 years. It was hundreds of people who had seen the risen Jesus and continued to proclaim that until life's end. And everything hangs on the resurrection. Everything hangs on the empty tomb. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Everything hangs on the resurrection. But that stone has already been rolled away. That stone is rolled away. That tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And just as most unbelievably, just as that stone was rolled away, most unbelievably, as the tomb was empty, most unbelievably, as Jesus was not dead but alive, so too, maybe most unbelievably, can Jesus roll away the stones in your life as well? So who will roll the stone away for me? Who will roll away the stone of doubt for me? Who will roll away the hurt for me? Who will roll away the mistrust or the apathy for me? Who will roll away the guilt or the shame for me? And who will roll away the confusion for me? Well, may you know that because Jesus has rolled away the stone to the empty tomb, that Jesus is the one who can roll away the stone of doubt in your life. Jesus is the one who can roll away the stone of hurt in your life. Jesus is the one who can roll away the stone of mistrust or apathy. Jesus is the one who can roll away the stone of guilt or shame. And Jesus is the one who can roll away the stone of confusion. Jesus will roll away the stone for you from the entrance of the tomb. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And because that stone has been rolled away, Jesus will roll away the stone from the tombs of our lives. And those in faith, who have faith in him, will be raised up to new life on that last day. What's interesting about this is as the women came to the tomb, the stone was keeping them from getting in to Jesus. But for us, it's flipped. Right? Those stones in our lives, they keep us in the grave. They keep us from getting out of the tomb. But Jesus rolls away that stone, and he calls you out of that grave to live with him for all eternity, where there will be no more doubt, no more hurt, no more mistrust, no more apathy, no more guilt, no more shame, no more confusion, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more tears, and ultimately, most importantly, no more death. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And because he is risen, so too will all those who have faith in him be raised up to new life when those stones are rolled away from their graves on the last day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.